was on its way up. The problem, it seems to me, is for the business community to make a judgment based on their needs and the country's needs as to what fiscal and monetary policies we should pursue. We've gotten into this discussion during the present tax bill. How much should the federal government spend? What should be our tax policies? What should be the policies of the Federal Reserve Board? How do we prevent a recurring recessions? We had a recession in 58. We had a recession in 60. How do we prevent another recession? What steps should we take on to lessen our gold drain? These are all very sophisticated questions which require very new answers. I don't think we can answer them with our automatic party reactions or reactions of prejudice, but really need the most careful and sophisticated judgments, because we're all interested in maintaining a prosperous economy with adequate profits, with full employment, which is going to be a particularly difficult problem with nearly 26 million new people coming into the labor market in this decade at the very time when automation is putting people out of work. We therefore need, I think, the closest communion between the business community and the national government, and I'm particularly glad that you have an opportunity to study at MIT, particularly in the field of economics, to come to Washington and talk to some of our people about some of these problems, because our interest is certainly a common one, and we all want the best for our country. Thank you very much, and we're glad you're down here.
Said that he'd work on that.
Yeah.
And I talked about getting a summary of the...
So you're going to have a hearing tomorrow?
I didn't get into that. I don't know what he's got scheduled tomorrow.
I'll
tell you this. I think we're much better off than we were 48 hours ago in any case. I think it's psychologically indicated our... And that's a pretty reasonable letter that was written to him.
Yeah.
That he could proceed with the hearings and all the rest. So I think psychologically, as far as it's taken away from him, the bitterness issue.
Yeah.
And hell, we tried to be cooperative and...
What about the tomorrow's hearing? Are you going to call the secretary?
Yeah, I'll call him, tell him this. I don't know. They'd have to have ordered the witnesses before now.
Oh, to have one tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
tomorrow.
Good. Yeah, it'd be good if he could get a... Let it go this week.
Yeah.
A few days off. Okay.
Okay.
We took care of that one man
that
we talked of last night. I think he'll be all right tomorrow.
Yeah.
We have other problems, however, that we're working on.
What is that, Anderson and...
Ashworth. Anderson has not yet been called for tomorrow, but Admiral Ashworth, the Navy Source Selection Board member, has been called. We have some real problems with him, but we're working on that now.
Why? Is he...
Well, his written statement is a difficult one. For us, and it's contradictory to previous positions in the Navy, but as Bobby and I talked, we finally agreed I'd go up and see McClellan tomorrow morning and show McClellan the problem and ask McClellan to ask questions. We'll see how this will work.
I think, you know, John, it loves to be soft-soaped.
Well, I'll soft him.
So if you can just give him the impression that you and John are working for the country.
Kiss his...
Are you going to be able to take a couple of days? You're not going to be able to go west.
I may go
Thursday
night.
I think you'd go Thursday night for 3 days.
I
think you'll find when you get out of Washington that nobody knows what the TFX is. That's my experience.
I'm not going to tell him, I can tell you that.
But I tell you, I just, you know, we're not getting a letter over here about it. So that's fine. Okay.
All right, sir. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and we're going to reconsider it, and we want to restudy the contract and all that crap.
But, I don't know how they can.
I know, and I think probably a lot of that stuff comes out of McClellan or out of that goddamn staff up there. And then he's acknowledged the right of the Senate to review the contract. Some crappy stuff. But I just wanted to, I just figured that we'd just go ahead. I was just talking to Senator McNamara, and everybody says McNamara's right, so.
Yeah.
I think we'd let Jerry Andelman proceed.
Well, I think that's clear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is McNamara?
Well, I think he's fine. You know, I think he's fine. He's so mad.
Well, John's a real bastard, isn't he, with his mealy-mouthing. What do you think he spoke to after?
Well, I think he spoke to Scoop.
Scoop. And Scoop
because
said...
Because you see, the other... who would be the other Democrat? Sam Irwin.
Yeah.
Sam Irwin. He said, I talked to Paul. And Scoop must have said, he doesn't pay that much attention to Jerry Adleman.
Yeah.
Scoop must have said, we can't take this, and this is a review by themselves, so we won't do that.
Yeah.
So then he gets in, and then we come see him, and he gets these questions.
Yeah.
Well, and they say, well, why ask the questions? That'll prove you're on their side. This is what I imagine.
Yeah.
And then you're, so, well, why? So, you see, he's got the foot in both camps. I take the questions, then he doesn't ask them, and then so that nobody up there is going to criticize. Now he's going to be bellyaching around the Senate. I have all this pressure from all sides. I'm just trying to be fair, and I have made up my mind, and I have the pressure from one side. And
yeah, but I just want to wait and then just let that dinosaur go right down the hopper, scare old Scooper.
I hope you are, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I'm sure going to talk to somebody about that.
Well, yeah, Scoop.
Right.
They've been real bastards.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh, Jack?
Yeah.
I just talked to John McCone, and we got the thing down pretty much where they're not certain yet where the ship went from, but at least the ammunition, et cetera. These guys were very original, but they got the ammunition here in Alexandria.
Virginia?
Yeah, and then they got a small boat, put two outboards in the back, went 55 miles an hour.
55 miles an hour?
Yeah. And then they got a little smaller boat. Their boat was about, I guess, 25, 26 miles. And then they got a little smaller boat, put a small outboard on it, filled it with explosives, and ran up alongside the ship and started the outboard motor and ran it into the ship.
And where'd they jump off?
Well, either that or they ran it off, you see, from their own little bigger boat. There are five of them.
Yeah.
So they had some guts. But I spoke to them
about... Did they blow the boat up?
Yeah, well, I guess either that... I think they might have sunk it.
Yeah.
I spoke to him about prosecuting these fellows,
and
I guess it's quite clear they violated the law.
Yeah.
And he said he got a call from Dick Russell yesterday, who was sore as hell. Said to him, I hope nobody's planning to take any action against these people. Because he said, you people launched an invasion back in 1961 that wasn't successful, and now these people are doing something and it is successful, and what are you trying to do?
That's typical of him, isn't it?
Yeah, so at least you know that side of it.
Yeah, but one's against Cuba. I don't mind if they blow up some Cuban ships, but they're blowing up Russian ships.
Yeah, or went into Cuba and caused some...
Yeah.
But not to come back and keep saying about the fact that it comes from the United States.
Yeah.
You know, their plans originate in the United States.
Is that what they announced?
Well, that's what, they have their press conference and all the rest of the business.
They have another one? They have another
No, one? But the first group.
The first one.
And then they publicize it. Everybody knows about this. I think that's the... There are two things. First, that the fact that it's against Russians... And the second thing, that they give it such wide publicity that they're doing it.
Yeah, good at the time. But isn't that typical of Russell? What did John McCone say?
Well, he said, I don't know what he said to him.
Yeah.
He was a little, he agreed that they weren't doing any good anyway.
Yeah.
So. But anyway, I'll let you know later on today.
What would be, I hate to prosecute these fellas,
but
I just want to make it goddamn sure that they don't do it anymore.
But I don't see how you can do it, make sure.
Unless you do?
Yeah. Hell, I don't see how you can do it. I mean, this happened a week after the last time he said that. We made it quite clear to the other people.
Is this a different group?
Yeah, it's a rival group.
Oh, it's a rival group.
Yeah.
They ought to just stay out of the United States, shouldn't they? What will you arrest them for?
I think it's the Logan Act.
Yeah. Maybe you could wait about 3 days before you
do. Well, in any case, I'll talk to you first, but
But we ought to have John McCone brief, so if anybody speaks, because they'll all be talking to him. And John ought to endorse our course of action. I mean, I don't want him saying, I didn't want to
do it. Well, I think the Cottrell Committee had a meeting on this, and I just found out about it last night, what they should do, and I don't think it ever came out very clearly.
Yeah.
So it might be that you'd want to bring four or five people involved together and just...
McCone and you and the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense.
Yeah. Now, I got a call from Secretary of State last night, and he said, I hope you prosecute them.
Yeah.
So I think everybody should get their views over.
Right on.
Okay.
Neil?
Yes, sir.
On this Rostow paper business, I see Diefenbaker said it's completely false that he's carrying a secret administration document.
Said
that is the, quote, root cause of much of his bitterness, unquote, towards the United States, was carried by the Southern News Service, a Canadian agency. The denial was published by the Winnipeg Tribune, a Southern News, Southam newspaper, together with a report written by Charles Lynch from Ottawa. Now, then it goes on and makes the document look much worse than it is. It said Lynch wrote the document marked secret as a White House working paper brought to Ottawa by President Kennedy's party in May 1961. The story said it's reported to have come to Diefenbaker's hands, quote,
through callousness on the part of the Kennedy entourage, unquote. It was prepared, Lynch wrote, by Walt Rostow, one of Kennedy's advisors, a guide for the president in his talk with Diefenbaker and in his speech to the Canadian Parliament, May 7, 1961. The story said the Canadian Prime Minister had read the document, had had the document for almost 2 years. At the U.S. State Department press release, taking issue with his defense policy speech in the Commons earlier this year, quote, caused him to retrieve the document and threatened to make it public, unquote. Lynch's story said, according to these reports, the document advised the president that Canada should be, quote, pushed, unquote, to accept nuclear weapons under joint control, to join the OAS, that's accurate, to decrease her trade with communist China and Cuba, and to ratify the Columbia River Treaty. That's not in it at all, is it?
No, I know.
Possible pressures to be brought to bear in achieving these objectives were the threats to cuts in U.S. defense production sharing and the possibilities of quotas or increased tariffs against Canadian gas and oil, lead and zinc, and timber products entering the United States market. Of course, that's completely untrue. Now, it sounds to me, though, as if he might have leaked this, Diefenbaker.
Yes, it occurred to me when I heard that.
Because the way it's leaked, it makes us look lousy, and it explains his bitterness. Instead of saying the reason that Kennedy's bitter at Diefenbaker is because he stole it through the carelessness, and then but now he's issued a statement saying that this is wholly false. Of course, he's a liar. Now, the question really is what reaction this is having up there and what we ought to do about it.
Yes, I think that we ought to get some reaction from Ottawa.
Yeah, do you want to get in touch with them?
Yeah.
And say that, of course, the story's here, that you can get this out of the... This is number 194 in the AP.
194 in the AP.
And just, of course, the story, it makes it look like it's a gobbled version.
Yes.
Of our paper, making it look worse than it is, number one. Number two, it makes it look like it's explaining why Diefenbaker's sore instead of the reason why we're sore. Number three is that it looks like carelessness instead of looking like maybe they stole it. I mean, there's none of that. And it's just a question of what reaction it's having. If it's helping Diefenbaker, we ought to think about knocking it down. The question would be how. It ought to be just Canadian. We ought to get the actual, perhaps they should consider whether they ought to leak in Canada the true version of what it said, plus Diefenbaker's threat to release it last year because I invited Pearson to the Nobel dinner. And so on and so forth. Or maybe we just ought to shut up. I don't know.
Yes, well, we'll get the reaction from Ottawa, Mr. President.
Okay.
Right. Bye.